Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Did I Save Podcast, where we talk about how games change and how games change us. And I have with me today...
Still working on that intro, huh?
This guy.
You nailed it, man. This guy.
Introduce yourself.
And then we have also this guy.
Mystery guy. I'm Jerry. I don't know who this man is or where he came from.
But we have him here today. Yeah. And he's with us.
He looked interesting. Yeah. We saw him on the road. He was asking for money, but we said, how about a podcast?
He'll take Talon's slot today, and we'll call him Talon all day.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. That sounds good.
And I am Ryan. And I am hosting today.
That might be our longest intro.
And no.
No.
But I do still hold the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Keeping it strong.
Yeah. And we're talking about souls today.
Yes.
And we're talking about saving souls.
Yeah.
Amen, so you brother. Can spend them.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wait, record scratch. Okay. Spend them?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Dark Souls.
We're talking about...
Demon Souls.
Dark Souls. We're talking about Demon Souls. We're talking about Sekiro. We're talking about Bloodborne. We're
talking about Last Remnant.
About Elden Ring. We're talking about Miyazaki.
Yeah.
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 So, we're discussing the highlights and...
The lowlights.
I'm trying to think of what...
Not an expression that I'm aware of.
The low darks. When they had the lights off.
Yeah.
Yeah. In these games. Now, Dark Souls 2 is actually not under his...
Name.
Yeah, he wasn't at the helm of that one. But we're still going to talk about it.
Perfect.
And Jared's going to start us off.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So I want to know, you think I'm not prepared for this? You fool, you absolute fool. I can talk about anything for any amount of time.
I prepared for you to not be prepared and to be prepared.
Okay, great. Okay. I want to start this off by setting kind of a basis for everybody who's listening, because everybody knows I'm not the Souls fan here. You two are the ultimate Souls fans. I like some derivatives of the Souls genre. I like Elden Ring, and there are a lot of like offshoots that I really like. The Pinocchio game, quite fun. I like. But I want to know from your perspective, what is it that defines the experience for you? Because there have been so many games that have come out at this point that you really, there are so many permutations on the formula. Mm-hmm. What are the fundamentals for you? What creates that experience for you? What hits in that way that you're like, this is what I want from a Souls game?
Well, the Souls games have like, stepped into my life so like have made such an impression on me that it's almost like every game in between is like, this is what I play until the next Souls game comes out.
Yeah. I'm just biding time. Yeah,
exactly. Or maybe I'll go back and play another Souls game until the next Souls game comes out. So for me, it's like when a new Souls game drops, though, the level of excitement is super high, and you don't know what you're 100% what you're getting into, but you know you're going to face ridiculous obstacles and you're going to have to overcome them. But yeah,
it sucks,
man. Yeah, it's just an epic. Yeah. I don't know how to 100% describe it, I guess, but the sense of adventure is going to be like, you can't beat it. I haven't had that experience in another video game where I'm just like, constantly wondering like what's around every corner and every nook and cranny, and just I have to fully experience like everything there is to experience about this game, and I have to know everything. And that's happened ever since the first time I picked one up,
which especially in adulthood, it is very hard to find a game that makes you want to put in the time and effort to 100% complete a game.
I think
it's a very rare experience for me also.
Do you have a better answer than me, Tylan?
I don't. I agree with you.
Do you have any answer at all?
No, I would definitely agree with you, Ryan. Is that...
Well, that's his answer. What's your answer?
Whoa.
Just say what I said.
Yeah. Is that the there's no better sense of discovery than how it feels when you play a Souls game for the first time. It's definitely changed over since there's been so many, like you said, derivatives, Jared. And then... There, as it's gone on, it's gotten to where we're there. It's a little bit formulaic, where we kind of But I think Miyazaki is aware of that, and so he definitely does his best, and the team does their best to subvert expectations, but usually in a really good way, in an interesting way. And they're always changing up, and they're not on the 20th Souls game, you know what I mean? They're doing things, experimenting with different games in between that, and I think that helps kind of alleviate some of those issues. But, man, playing the first, well, playing Demon's Souls and then playing Dark Souls, but it's just like, man, I just want more of that. Just the challenge, but you're able to overcome the challenge. It doesn't feel cheap, which when there's a lot of like reproductions of that, like just certain other games that try to reproduce that same feeling, they often feel cheap. You know, they try to come in with a new idea, but it just feels cheap. Whereas Dark Souls, they just like nailed the decision making, like in the combat. It feels rewarding, it feels good to use, and it feels like if you make a wrong decision that it was your fault. So, and then you just learn from that, and then you kind of repeat the process over and over and over again.
So
it's almost like it's like kind of roguelike in a way. You die, and then you keep doing it over and over. You get further and further and further, and then stuff like that.
It's hard. So, it's hard to go back and play the older titles because the combat has evolved and it's been tweaked. Every single game that comes out, you don't realize how much it's changed until you go back and play an old one. Even like the remaster of Dark Souls. And then you go and play Dark Souls 2, and the combat's not even better or worse. It just depends who you ask. It's definitely different. Some people say it's better, but I think most people say it's worse. But then Dark Souls 3 comes out, and the combat is just phenomenally better. It's way more responsive. You feel way more in control. And it's just a little faster paced, while Dark Souls 1 was very clunky. And then you have Bloodborne, which was just like, what if we just threw your shield away and just made this whole game 300% faster?
Comparatively, like, hyper-aggressive.
And that was a huge change of pace that I was very worried about, but then once I came accustomed to it, I was like, yeah, this is...
You just got to learn to trust the
process. And then Sekiro, which was like 500% faster.
So that's
the only one that I actually haven't beat. I've always meant to go back and play it, and it has never found the time. I got pretty far into it. I want to say I felt like I was about halfway through the game. But I never made it to that giant monkey boss. So I don't know how far that is in the game, but I never made it there.
The toughie, the real toughie in the game.
But I'm pretty spoiler free on that game. I haven't really looked up a bunch. I just know you showed me the monkey boss dude, the gorilla thing.
I've seen so many clips
and
of that.
But I will probably go back and play that. I still own it. So
For me, it's probably Neo. I think Neo is a really interesting mix of the Souls formula with like a JRPG.
And that one's not one's not an official part.
It is it is a delineation of the franchise, not related to
it. It exists though because Dark Souls exists.
It is a direct result. And there are so it's really part of this whole conversation to me is looking at where the genre has gone because it's inspired so many other not necessarily knockoffs because that's kind of
it's the Souls like term is that's what that comes from is Dark Souls and now it's a genre on Steam Souls like and whether or not the game actually meets that criteria is up to debate, but it seems like games slap that on to get sales. But there's like
it works.
There's a YouTube channel where the guy plays Souls likes, and he—I mean—he comes out with videos every month where he plays like 100 Souls like games.
It's wild.
Gives you his recommendations. So but
it's interesting to me how much they kind of stray from that formula while still trying to like hold on to some core facet of it, because there are a lot of games like there are like deck builders that claim to be Souls-like, you know what I mean? And the line starts
I think they're getting confused where rogue, I think they're like...
That's what I was going to say. The line between a Souls game and a roguelike blur. Because a roguelike, for anyone who's not super familiar with the genres, a roguelike is a game where it is designed for you to make progress, fail, and have to start over. Mm-hmm. But it's based on an old, it's called ASCII, where the game is designed with characters like letters and symbols mm-hmm. from a keyboard that you're navigating as a symbol. Mm-hmm. Very rudimentary. But it was called Rogue.
Yeah, the game was called Rogue.
That's
yeah.
why they call it a roguelike.
Yeah.
Because basically, if you died in that game, you had to start all over again. Mm-hmm. And that genre has evolved to be much more a roguelike. Typically means you die and you lose your progress and have to start over. But there are permanent fixtures that stay mm-hmm. like upgraded yeah. or you maintain yeah. items. Or
the game gets easier over time, not right. because of skill, but because you're actually making progression. You're
iterating yeah. each time you go, yeah. you make a little more permanent progress. Yeah. And that's, so Souls has that very much of like, you're gathering souls, you're spending them to upgrade your character. Anytime you find an item in the game, you keep that item. So if there's a really difficult boss that happens to have a cool item behind them, there are plenty of times where I've just run in and died, knowing I would die, but just mm-hmm. getting that item, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think those two genres have kind of merged in the public consciousness a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because they're both the only like genre defining terms I can think of that kind of defined a Souls like game, but they both, the term comes from a game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's game. True.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's interesting to talk about the differentiation between a roguelike and a Souls game, because I, as a non diehard fan, kind of look at all of this, the popularity and the branching off of mm-hmm. the Souls games from an academic perspective of like, it's just interesting to me to learn about this, even if I don't play the games, mm-hmm. even if I don't enjoy them in the same way.
Yeah.
I enjoy
they're definitely a huge piece of them. Video game culture.
Right.
Whether you kind of play have them or
to
not.
Be in that conversation yeah. Yeah. To some degree.
They're probably influencing games that you do like, that you're just not aware of.
And I right. think a big yeah. thing for me in the Souls game in particular is that the fiction of the game is something that is conveyed to you in fragments. Mm-hmm. There is
subtle world building.
Right. There yeah. there are, especially as the games have gone on, I think, especially in Elden Ring, there are like full-blown cutscenes where characters are expressing information to you mm-hmm. and like pushing the narrative forward. But there's still a huge emphasis on reading item descriptions and they're like bits of history that mm-hmm. this item was involved in this event or whatever. And so you're piecing it together. And there's a very communal focus in Souls games where people are trying to like work together to put together the whole picture of what's happened in this world. Yeah. I really like that.
I think me that's
too. Super interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoy that.
And I think that's part of why you and I both enjoy Warframe is mm-hmm. because that idea of want to dig.
We're gonna cut right here.
Yeah. I promise I won't talk about Warframe.
Yeah.
We made an episode on First Descendant that never aired, and I'm kind of glad it did now because all my opinions have just 180'd from that episode of just like, no, I hate that game. Like after going and playing that and then going back to Warframe, I'm like, why would I ever play any other game like this? I will just play Warframe.
Yeah.
But I think that instinct to like dig and mm-hmm. discover is embedded in the Souls games, and people who enjoy that process of discovery and finding things for themselves and not being spoon-fed information mm-hmm. because those things also lend themselves to, it's mostly narrative, but there are like strategic elements that you can pull out of that in terms of like the boss fights and how they fit together in the world and actually get some kind of advantage, I think mm-hmm. for in some regards at least.
Yeah.
Turns of like how to defeat these enemies mm-hmm. yeah. is really interesting to me. So I'm just talking through my thoughts on how I draw the line at what a Souls game is, what a roguelike is, and what a Miyazaki Souls game is versus a, let's say, unofficial Souls game. Mm-hmm. Something like Last Remnant, where they still have that same aesthetic, albeit in a different context where mm-hmm. it's like kind of sci-fi almost mm-hmm. or like steampunk. And the Souls games have almost always been like Bloodborne is Victorian, mm-hmm. but everything they're like medieval, else is gothic. Like medieval. Yeah. Uh-huh. Very gothic, very like yeah. dark, moody kind of environment, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. I mm-hmm. think they get by a lot on their designs. I think their character designs are also super interesting. There are a ton of characters in those games that are like, I know almost nothing about them, but I would have a picture of them in my house or something. Mm-hmm. Like Melania mm-hmm. looks incredible.
Yeah.
Ronnie looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are some male characters that look incredible. Looking respectfully at the female characters in the Souls universes. Right. But like Artorias, characters like Blythe that are just,
If you're talking about Elden Ring,
there are tons Radahn. Of super iconic characters that even people who don't play Souls games would recognize because they're just so prevalent in gaming culture now.
Right.
And I think that is probably the hardest challenge to match for people who are trying to make a Souls game that aren't Miyazaki.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you see a lot of games falter in different ways. I think
they're never going to match the world building and the lore behind
it's because, too cohesive, I think.
Yeah.
It's too singularly designed.
They might have a good take on the combat system and the leveling system and like maybe level design, but they're never going to match the... I mean, and they might. Never is a strong word, but...
Well, it'll be in their own way.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be in their own way.
You can only ape that so far before you're just a pale imitation of... Yeah. The actual Souls game. If you want to make a truly excellent Souls experience, you have to move in a different direction, I think.
Yeah.
Because you'll never do what they do better.
A Souls game to me is when I play a game and then when the combat is challenging and then if I die and then I have to go and collect my souls, then I'm like, oh, it's a Souls-like. That's to me is like that's a Souls-like.
But that's become such a prominent part of games that even in games that I wouldn't even describe as a Souls-like, it's like, hey, go get your stuff. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like you don't understand why this like particular gameplay mechanic is compelling in the Souls universe, but you've taken it out and put it in here as like an artificial way to create difficulty. But it's just frustrating. It doesn't tie into any greater mechanical overarching theme or like anything like that.
It was Bloodborne where the enemy actually carried, like a nearby enemy has your stuff.
Yeah, you have to kill that enemy.
So it's not just you can just sprint and go and get it.
Right.
Now you have to actually do some combat.
If you die in a boss, I'm just like,
Was there another Souls game that did that? Did Demon Souls do that?
No.
Okay. I know Elden Ring has like some enemies have like golden eyes, and that just means they're going to drop more runes. But that's kind of what it looked like in Bloodborne, I think, is where their like eyes were lit up or something like that.
Yeah. I thought they had like an aura or something.
They probably had an aura too.
There are a lot of little elements like that in there. But I think those are the things that games, they tend to want to lean too heavily into the aesthetic or the gameplay or what like whatever it is. And then they lose that vision that you were talking about earlier, that like they don't fully understand how to make it cohesive.
Yeah.
But I feel like games like Sekiro and stuff like that, like they lean far enough away from that they have their own vision for it, that it works in its own right. Like I do think games like Sekiro are excellent games, but I'm just interested in understanding like how do we define what a Souls game is, which I think we've done probably enough of at this point, but just so that we can springboard off that into what other games do it well? What elements of the existing games do you guys find particularly compelling? Or like you were saying, like specific moments that are a product of those elements, that kind of thing. Like for me, I think overall Bloodborne is probably the most actual Souls game that I've enjoyed. Like I actually got pretty far into that game, enjoyed it on my own. Most of the time, if I'm playing a game like Elden Ring or a Souls game, I'm running it with you. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to fight my way to the next space where I can summon you. And then we'll do the same thing over again. But like with those games, like Bloodborne, Neo, those kind of games, I actually played them enough on my own to like become competent at them. And I really enjoy those games for a few different reasons. But I'm interested to hear like what are the highlights of the series for you? What are the highlights outside of that series for you? What other games do you think did something in that genre particularly well?
For me, I want to ask Taylan.
Sure.
20 years from now, we go into the future, and no other Souls games have come out. Okay. Which one do you pick up and play?
Good question.
Our favorite thing to do here at Did I Say This is ask people questions they're unprepared to answer.
Got 20, you. So 20 years in the future,
yeah,
we only have the Souls games we have now.
Uh-huh.
Your consoles still work.
Yeah.
Even which on the Holo TVs. Am I gonna,
which one am I going to pick up and play?
Yeah.
Good question.
We'll cut a lot of this.
It's probably going to be... Yeah, we're gonna it's to either going to be... Well, Demon's Souls Remake.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
It's going to be between Demon's Souls Remake...
And Death's Door.
No. Nice, though. Yeah.
No is the correct
Original
answer.
Dark Souls or Blurry Bloodborne.
So no Elden Ring in there.
No Elden Ring yeah. for me.
It would be either Elden Ring for me or... I mean, if we're saying only Miyazaki games, it would be...
I think I'm saying only Miyazaki games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the easiest way to answer this question. Mm-hmm. In a timely manner, is it would probably be Elden Ring for me, even without the DLC, which mm-hmm. I have not played yet.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, to me, that gives me the closest to what I want out of that experience.
Yeah.
What about you, Ryan?
Tell me. Let me think about it for
a while. Okay. It's your question.
But I tried to give you time to think.
Now that you're asking me, let me put myself in your shoes.
You should. If only you had some way to prepare for this question.
Exactly.
I can't think of a way I could have prepared.
No, nope, there is no way.
Except to play every single one.
That's right.
And figure out from there.
Yeah.
Honestly, man, probably Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good choice.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. That one's just so good.
Yeah.
There's not a moment of that game that I dislike, I guess.
Really yeah. strong start.
Yeah.
I love the fiction in that game. Like, I like the fiction in all the games, but Bloodborne is the one that I've done the most, like, watching YouTube videos mm-hmm. for, you know what yeah. I mean? I think I like the setting mm-hmm. a lot. Like, I like the way that they portray, like, that Victorian era architecture mm-hmm. and the city and everything feels very
yeah.
alive.
Feels none like of that aesthetic even really struck with me until Bloodborne, and now I just love that aesthetic. Mm-hmm. I
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah.
But the combat is just so engaging that... Mm-hmm. There's no enemy that feels bland. Like, the combat's just mm-hmm. always so hectic
yeah.
and you're constantly like just like fearful for your life, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's a stressful game, that's for sure. And it's probably the game with the boss that I've died the most on out of any video game ever. It's a DLC boss, which is the it's like a variant of the cleric beast, I'm pretty sure. Or you have to it looks like it's dead in like a mm-hmm. in the open like this open cathedral like room
that's too small
mm-hmm. and it has like two phases and the second phase would always kill me. Took me 1,000 tries. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. It might be something like the cleric beast. Ah, dang it, how much did we just lose?
Ryan, tell me about your favorite Souls game.
It's not Ludwig though, right?
No, not Ludwig.
Okay, because he's in the giant like cavern.
He's not that bad. Okay. He's the one that gives you like the moonlight greatsword, essentially. Gotcha.
Yeah, I remember what that guy.
It's a cleric beast, but it's like you're in the and you go to the mm-hmm. DLC. You're in the past, I believe, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you go up these stairs like near the beginning, and there's like a beast that's like dead mm-hmm. in this room, and you come back later, and it wakes up.
Yeah.
And you fight it. And I think it's even an optional boss, but of course I have to beat it.
Right.
And it's just try after try after yeah. try after try.
Yeah.
I need to go to sleep because I have to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to come home. Man, I smell bad. I need to take a shower. Man, I'm hungry. Let me grab something that I can eat and play a video game at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you're going to need a burrito.
I need a fork for this food because I don't want greasy fingers for my PlayStation controller.
Or that.
Now I'm back playing Bloodborne. I'm going to fight this guy over and over and over again. Oh, crap. I need to go to sleep.
Did you say because I have to work in the morning. At any point?
I'm your wife?
Did you say
hi to my wife?
Did you say hi to your wife?
It's all a blur. Probably not.
I'm desperately trying to figure out any context where mm-hmm. I could have said I'm your wife at that moment. And it would have made any sense in any way. Okay. Anyway, the cleric beast. Yeah. Yes. It sounds like you're struggling. Sounds like it's day three.
Lawrence.
The first vicar. Vicar. Lawrence. Right?
That's definitely it.
That's definitely him.
Yeah, he's like on fire for his like second phase, and there's like...
It's insane.
Yeah. He'll just one-shot you. And there's like...
That's my average soul's
experience. There's like three... Well, there's like a move you just like can't predict. Mm-hmm. And I'm like I use the greatsword most of the time.
Yeah.
And ended up having to change strategy because you can't get hits just in with a greatsword. Yeah, if you get a hit in, you're going to get punished. So I had to like go to the one-handed version and just kill him slower.
Yeah.
Eventually I got him. Yeah. But was it because I got good? No, it was because if you throw a million pebbles at a bucket from...
Go on, finish this metaphor.
If you take a handful of pebbles and throw it at a bucket, you know, one will get in.
One, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I thought you were going to say one will knock it over. And I was like, no, it won't. Okay, cool, great. Yeah.
So if I went back and tried to fight that guy, it's not like I'll be like, oh, I've got so good at fighting this guy. No, yeah, it's going to take 100 more tries.
All right.
So I think I know the answer to this, but is that your favorite boss fight?
No. Okay. No.
Nah.
What's your favorite?
My favorite boss fight from Bloodborne.
Not necessarily Bloodborne.
Probably Ogmuk.
Just
souls?
Yeah. Mm. Any souls. Doesn't have to be Miyazaki. As long as I'll open the conversation back up to just souls games.
I'm going
to
close it back.
Don't. Yeah. No. I'm holding it open with my foot.
I don't know if I could pick just like...
Or most memorable, if that's like an easier one to zero in.
Ceaseless Discharge. Yeah, for sure. For several reasons.
You know, that's another key element of Souls games is they need stupid names for things. Like, if I'm not upgrading my P organ, I'm not playing a true Souls life. You know what I'm saying? It's just so bizarre.
Ceaseless Discharge is the boss that you're talking about where you go in and you grab an item because you want the item, but you don't need to beat the boss.
Right.
He's guarding these Reaper style robes. Mm-hmm. And they have a protection from some stat. They don't have like good defense or anything. I think they're okay.
Just a high resistance
to something. It's a high resistance to something. I don't remember if it was like the death thing or what. But
play or something.
Yeah, it might even mean just fire resistance so you can run around the lava easier. Right. But yeah, you needed them. They were great robes, a great armor set, and they looked pretty nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
The hood was just nice to throw on other sets of armor.
I can't believe you would interrupt one of us.
If you like. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think out of all of the Souls games, I still think Dark Souls 1 has my favorite set of bosses.
Yeah.
Because they're so varied.
I think the design and the lore behind the bosses is my favorite, but the actual fights, like if you go back and fight them, they're kind of bland.
Well, it could be like your favorite memory or whatever, just whatever.
Yeah, the memory, and for me, that is the same. Like fighting Artorias was just like crazy epic, but like if you go back and watch the final fight in Dark Souls. It's like, man, that looks so easy.
Yeah,
You've come so far
in the design of how enemies attack and reading patterns.
Yeah,
and
stuff he has like a three attack pattern, and you just dodge, 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 and you hit him, and then he starts attacking again.
And a big part of it though is like the setting and the music and how the character is moving, like what their actual animations look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they have a penchant for being very cinematic.
Yeah,
they know how to set up a moment and really sell it.
Yeah.
And I think that's true with their characters as well, which is why they become so iconic. Like their designs are always so interesting, like unique, and they feel like familiar in a way that lets you kind of ground that character. But then there's something like Ronnie's hat.
Well,
now you're good.
You're well, like the boss fights have like muscle memory. The boss fights have the boss fights have like an additional like a level to them because of the lore. Like when you fight Artorias, you're sad to defeat him because he's like this brave knight that's gotten this curse, and you basically have to put him down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you fight Sif, and that's his dog, and the dog even recognizes you, and you've got to put it down.
Yeah.
There's like this there's another level to it. Like other video games, like you beat a boss, you just beat the boss and they're
he's
bad.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah. I think that's part of why I find their approach to storytelling so interesting is because there are totally scenarios where you can fight a boss with no context for who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're saying things in the fight that don't mean anything to you. But then if you find like a couple items that give you more context and stuff, it changes the entire feel of the fight because you're like, oh, this person is here for a very specific reason. They have this very specific relationship with someone. Like, that's how Melania was for me. I was like, dude, this is such an incredible character design. And then the more I learned about her, the cooler I thought she was.
Right.
Yeah. And every Elden Ring, every character in any Souls game, even the NPCs you think have a little role, you go on like wiki page and they have just paragraphs and paragraphs of information. And then there's all these like conspiracy theorists that are super interesting to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everything makes sense, and you think about like why things are a certain way, and you're like, well, that's because this character did this to this other person, and that's why the world is the way it is, and it's crazy to think about the level of detail and everything.
Yeah, it's really impressive that they've managed to hide that much story.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I look at this. Like, I can't believe how much they're willing to reward you for digging.
Yeah.
Just in general in that game.
Well, like, I think, well, you know, not to circle back around for the bosses, but I'm just saying, like,
don't circle back around.
So usually when you play a video game, they just have a giant health bar and you smash it down and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But with like, with the Souls games,
sounds like you're playing some very bad games.
I'm just saying, like, I think about the Bed of Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like there's this huge gap in the floor and you have to jump across. And if you destroy like the bug or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like you're destroying the boss or whatever. And it's basically, it's like once you figure it out, it's not a hard fight, but it's like you have to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In order to defeat it, which I think is interesting.
Bed of Chaos is pretty similar to the dragon god thing in Demon Souls.
Right.
Exactly. Where like once you know, you just hit the, is it like chains?
You gotta hit the the giant, like crossbow.
Yeah,
and it shoots like, him and brings him down so you can attack his face.
Stop trying to swing your sword at that monster.
Yeah, but it's incredible because it's like, man, this is this epic boss fight, but it's like it's different rather than every other boss fight where it's just you just the numbers are higher and I smashed him a bunch of times and now he's dead. You know what I mean? It's just like there's actual thought behind, you know, a difference in how you defeat the boss, which is always more enjoyable than rather than just doing the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
And well, talking about Ceaseless Discharge, when you
not to circle back to the bosses.
Circle back. The way I beat that boss was with a bow and arrow, and I hide in the little canyon.
I
shoot him, and then he tries to hit me with his arm, and then I run back into the canyon, and then he starts to try and go back around to the other side to hit me.
Yeah.
And then I shoot him with arrows, and he comes back around, and he throws his arm. So it's just like rinse and repeat this easy kill thing, because I couldn't figure out how to kill him with a sword.
Right.
It just like seemed impossible. And then like a year later, you find out people were like luring him off the cliff and not even fighting him, and he'll just fall and die.
Yeah.
And he's been there for millions of years, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's what I was just thinking. Like, this guy, he's like getting shot with arrows, and he's like, are you kidding
me? Yeah. Yeah.
I've been here when this planet was formed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to die from a bow and arrow. I can't even reach it.
But then you find out there is a way to kill him with a sword. He has like a weak spot, like on a shoulder or something.
Oh,
you
have
to shoot it with a bow. Mm-hmm. And then he'll, when he swings his arm, you have to dodge at the exact right time and hit it. But I think I killed him once that way just to prove I could do it. Mm-hmm. And then quit
just to prove
doing
I could
it,
do it
that way.
I had mirrors set up so I could just look at myself.
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, I prove it to myself. No one else is around.
Yeah.
Haley's like, I knew you could do it. I didn't want you to do this. I asked you not.
The dishes need to be done. Yeah. If you can prove you could do that,
we have to stop buying food you can eat without messing up your controller.
That's right.
Your diet is wrecked.
White bread.
Just a loaf of bread you're just compacting into a ball. That's 600 calories right there, baby.
That's right. I'm ready to go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I've got a really long straw, so I don't have to move my head for drink or my hands.
Yeah.
So I'll ask this then. What's your favorite non-Souls game?
Oh, FIFA.
What game do you think? Not non-Souls. Not what main is your favorite yeah. non-mainline Souls game? What is your favorite branch off? What do you, what games do you think did it particularly well that aren't a part of that?
Well, I do.
Oh, bye, Talon.
I gotta make sure that.
Otherwise, it's gonna die. That has stopped, but we don't.
Hey, the recording's been stopped automatically.
Just in time. Take 5 seconds. All right. Just in time.
So, what Souls games? What Souls games for you, both of you, do you think mimic it particularly well or do their own thing particularly well?
None.
Well, that's empirically false, I feel like, but okay.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I think the first one that I experienced was Lords of the Fallen, or is it Lord of the Fallen?
Lord. I think it's Lords of the Fallen.
Lord of the Fallens.
Lords.
Oh, it's Lord of the Fallen. Lord of those Fallen.
I can't, there's a sequel now that has come out that I don't think is even made by the same studio. I think someone took it over.
Is it a sequel or is it a reboot?
Man, whatever. A reboot? Didn't the original just come out like 5 years ago?
No. It came out when you and I were living together, so.
What?
That's
like 2013 or something?
Yeah. 360 game?
It was after Dark Souls Xbox 2. One game. It was after Dark Souls 2, before Dark Souls 3.
Yeah. Now I don't know.
And this before isn't Blood. Particularly relevant, but was, I just can't believe it was that long
ago. It was before Bloodborne. It was in between... Yes. 2 and 3, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then 3 came out, and it was like, that's much better.
That's much better. Yeah, I remember you being pretty into that game when it came out.
I was pretty into Lords of the Fallen, but I would never play it again.
Yeah.
I did beat it all the way through.
I don't know that it's aged particularly well. I think it was one of the first games that truly felt like they were, not just that they were borrowing parts of it, but they wanted to be a Souls game.
I just remember watching, like, before the game came out, there was, like, trailers and stuff, and I just remember really liking the design. Mm-hmm. And there were, like, bosses. They kept showing this one boss fight over and over again, and it had, like, 3 phases. And I was like, hey, that's what Dark Souls does.
Hey.
The boss gets harder as you go. Or, like, they switch it up mid-fight just as you were getting comfortable.
Yeah.
They switch it up. But all that stuff kind of was just, Lords of the Fallen was really clunky. Once you got used to how clunky it was, the game was better. But then you got, then you went and played Dark Souls 3, and you're like, man, that's much better.
Ooh, that hits the spot.
Yeah, they did do a thing where when you dropped your, when you died and you dropped your souls or blood or whatever it was, that it had like a meter on it, and so the meter would go down, and it's like you would lose souls gradually if you let it sit too long,
like a combo reset kind of thing,
right? Yeah. And I thought that was kind of just more annoying than anything.
I mean, or it sounds like
you gotta get to it now.
It's one of those ideas where it's like, okay, so you want me to play more aggressively, but instead of like finding a way for me to play more aggressively, you just force me to rush through to get to the next set of enemies.
And the problem is the game wasn't, it's like they decided to do that at the last minute because the game is very slow and methodical until you get to the very final boss fight, which has a Dead Space 2 feel to it, I think, where
like
you're very slow and clunky, and the boss you're fighting is very fast and agile. And it's like, this isn't around this. Mm-hmm. Why did you make the boss that way?
That's gross. I don't like
and it's or
like,
why'd you make me this way?
Why did you make me this way?
Yeah. So, I think the closest, the one that I enjoyed the most, but they actually have experience with action games, is probably Neo.
I really like Neo, too.
Neo is what my brain goes to, but I, for some reason, I want to say there's something that I can't think of.
Yeah.
I should be saying.
We tried The Hades? Surge.
The Surge.
Man, that game is so annoying. It's like the idea is interesting, like where you're hacking off certain limbs.
Never played the second one, though.
I didn't either.
It's cool in motion. Like seeing videos of that game look really interesting.
Yeah,
but I don't think playing it is.
It was too repetitive. Like you kept fighting, like your combat and like the way to solve it each time was too repetitive. Like I felt like I was just in a different looking room, but very similar looking room than the last room.
Right.
And fighting the same enemies. And like I think the boss fights were pretty interesting if I remember correctly, but it's been too long for me to give like a review on that game.
Yeah.
But I remember enjoying it. I don't think I beat it, and I don't think I did not play the second one.
Nah, I didn't play the second one either because the first one was too frustrating.
I didn't like the armor system. Like I never felt like my character like looked very cool.
No,
just looked weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like the idea of what they were doing.
Yeah,
like,
I think they could have executed a little better.
Yeah, where it's like, I want that armor,
yeah,
that piece of armor, like the helmet, and so you lock on the head.
Yeah, to remove the head. Yeah, I forgot about
that. And you do that finisher, and then you get the helmet. And I'm like, that's great. That way I can farm what I want.
Yeah.
But then you put it on, and the dude just looks like he's wearing like a boxing hat.
Instead of Monster Hunter, it's Enemy Hunter.
Yeah. But it doesn't play well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are so many on here that I'm like, are you sure that's a soul?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean... They have like Salt and Sanctuary, like Lies of P, I think was like weirdly good. I was expecting nothing from that game.
Yeah,
I played the demo and didn't enjoy it.
Yeah,
and then everyone said that the combat system changed when
significantly,
the full release came out, and that I need to give it another try.
I don't know about now, but they continued to make significant changes to how the combat felt even after it came out.
Mm.
They made big changes in like dodge speed and stuff like that to try and make it feel more cohesive. Mm-hmm. But I thought the narrative was interesting. I think the aesthetic in that game is really cool. I think it's quite hard for what it's worth.
Yeah.
And I think the story is actually really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's an unexpected twist. I didn't think I would ever care about a game about Pinocchio, but I think that is such a far removed element of the game that they could have just changed the name.
Yeah.
They have allusions to like puppets and the puppeteers and like Geppetto and his role in all of this and stuff, but it's really a story about like effectively AI. You know what I mean? So, but I thought it was really interesting in that sense. It has Blasphemous on here. I think maybe in the sense that Blasphemous has an incredible aesthetic, that it's like horror Spanish Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
neat. Catholic.
Yeah, okay. Very Catholic, overbearingly so.
Yeah.
But everything about the aesthetic of that game is pretty much the whole reason I wanted to play it.
Mm-hmm. I played quite a bit.
The gameplay
quite is quite a bit of Blasphemous.
Well, you could get one more B in there. Come on, bro.
Yeah,
I played a significant amount of it as well.
Great game.
It is a great game, and it's a great price point. You play it on your Switch.
I think Taylan enjoyed it the most out of.
But yeah, I love that game.
Yeah.
The ludo narrative of that game, of like the way that they tie narrative components into the mechanics of the game, is really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Like I like how they continue the theme in every part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. There's no point where it's like, well, we really needed a mechanic to let you do this thing, so you can.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this is, you know, the soul of a saint that was like embedded in an item or whatever. It's like all totally wrapped in the same cloth. And I really appreciate when a game takes the time and effort to actually do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess in that regard, I really like Blasphemous as a Souls-like.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that. But I don't know that the combat really struck me as particularly Souls-like. I don't know. Maybe you guys disagree, but...
I think if you go 2D platformer, I think it's pretty close as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, if you, the caveat that you are playing a 2D side scroller, it's much closer in that respect, I guess. But
it's Souls like in if you're talking about Dark Souls 1, where the world wraps itself back around itself, like you're constantly like,
I like that a lot,
like knocking the ladder down and then coming back to where you were, and then that unlocks a quick way to get to this more difficult area instead of having to run through the same area 100 times. And the combat has like every enemy has like a unique finisher move that's always really gory.
Yeah,
that's true.
But also satisfying.
For sure.
True.
I can't remember the criteria you had to meet. Did you have to get the enemy to a certain amount of health before you could
you
do
had
the
to,
execution?
Well, it's like if you parried, I think.
Yeah.
And they would like do this white flash of...
You had to open them up.
That's pretty Souls-like, except the Dark Souls parry was always the same animation depending on your weapon.
Yeah. All right, I take back everything I said.
Yeah.
That game is just a Souls-like. Maybe Miyazaki...
And don't you get your souls back? You pick them up off the ground?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it is a Souls-like, but I don't. When I think about the combat in that game, I don't necessarily think about... well, like a Miyazaki Souls game, but I guess it's more similar than I really gave it credit for.
Well, should the new term be, is it runes-like, or should it be, is it ring-like?
No, there's more souls than rings. So.
Well, if the Elden Ring is the new
it's not.
Souls, though.
It's not. You guys both said that that wouldn't be the one you go back to. So,
if you had to rank
it's the like Souls it never existed. Games,
oh, right. Don't ask me that.
Nah, this is the good part.
Well, it's
well. Now wait a minute. Deep. What about Star Wars Jedi Survivor? Is that your favorite Souls like?
Actually, yeah, of all time, my favorite game of all time.
I thought maybe you'd forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm. No,
I have no opinion on that game. Boop.
I don't know if I can say this on the podcast. Don't care about Star Wars that much.
It's fine.
Okay. Well, so this is our last episode. Yeah.
It was a good. No,
they're coming for us. I can hear them banging at the door now.
So now Ryan's going to make the tough decision on ranking
the Souls. It's difficult because I will say I think the combat gets better with each one.
Okay.
So it's like while Dark Souls 1 made a huge impression on me because it was the first one I played in this series.
Yeah.
When you go back to it, you're like, man, I miss a lot of the things you can do in the Elden Ring combat or even the Dark Souls 3 combat. Mm-hmm. Do you remember a lot about Dark Souls 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The changes. And that game was on an entirely different engine than Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. And then I think Dark Souls 3 was on a new engine as well.
The enemies were on like a record. Like they would like spin around.
Your hip would spin. Like your legs would stand in place and your hip would spin and you would look weird.
Right.
And if you tried to do a backstab, he did this punch first. Mm-hmm. And so if the enemy moved too far away from when you initialize it, your character just like,
don't like that.
Does this.
It's amazing.
And the dodge roll had iframes that you could upgrade, but the game didn't tell you that. There was a stat that you raised that gave you more iframes for your roll.
Wow, that's
so
crazy.
So when you first start off, the game seems incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Because you're like, that roll in Dark Souls.
Like two iframes.
Yeah. That roll in Dark Souls would have saved me, but in Dark Souls 2, it doesn't. Not until you level up.
Right. That's like, weird.
Super weird. I think it was dexterity.
I think so.
I guess that would make sense.
It's either endurance or dexterity.
Yeah.
So was the PC port of Dark Souls 2, did it run on the Dark Souls 3 engine?
No.
Okay. Because I know there was something different about the port, like significantly different about the Dark Souls.
There was nothing significantly different. I think there was some small difference with the PC port. There was nothing significantly different. But I think there was some small difference with the PC port, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
But it wasn't significant.
Okay. All right.
Never mind. When we played Dark Souls 2 together on PC, I just remember you telling me something about it compared to the original Dark Souls 2. You were like, this thing is different in a
this
way.
This is different.
Yeah. Maybe you said, this isn't meaningfully different than Dark Souls 2.
You know what's different?
And nothing. I was too busy fighting for my life, and I was like, yes, meaningfully different, whatever.
Yeah, whatever I don't you know. Say.
Yeah. Who knows? All
right, enough dawdling, Ryan. Tell me, rate them.
I have literally given you so much time.
I think Elden Ring is a culmination of, like, everything that they've learned from making these Souls games.
Just say Elden Ring's 3. It's at the top. What's the next
one? But the level design, for me, doesn't hit as hard as 1 or 3.
Okay.
Or even it's better than 2 for sure.
Okay.
Wait, what is?
2 is hilarious. You're like at a volcano, you go through a door, you're at a pirate's cove.
Yeah.
Then you go through another door, you're at like a wizard's tower.
I love
that.
They
did not know how to build a cohesive world.
No.
They want pirates. Yeah. Give them pirates.
Like the world they designed in Elden Ring, it feels epic. But I don't like running around an open field forever and then running along some cave and hoping, or like a cliff wall, hoping to find a cave. Or just like the amount of things you have to check in every nook and cranny to find absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. In Elden Ring, while this Dark Souls, when you found a secret, it felt a lot better.
Right. Yeah.
Me, like Elden Ring, when you go to Stormveil Castle, that was like, oh, this feels like a Dark Souls game now. And then you leave Stormveil Castle.
I feel like I definitely see what you're saying. There's a lot of wasted space in Elden Ring. But for me, the trade-off is I also have a lot more freedom to go in whatever direction interests me the most.
Yes, you do.
And find things at my
I think
own
that
pace.
Could have been accomplished without the waste
I think
space.
They could definitely do a better job
yeah.
of maximizing yeah. the interesting use of
but you space. Wouldn't get those epic landscape like screenshots that you do of places you can actually go to. Like Dark Souls has these epic screenshot like landscapes that you can see, but you just can't go over there.
Well, like when you finish Stormveil Castle and you walk out that back door and you see all everything. Of that and you're like, wait, can I go to yes, all of these places? And you actually can. It's unreal.
You can. And you'll start your hike today.
Start your hike bring today.
Us yeah. Yeah.
We're practicing for ad reads that are inevitably coming.
That's right.
But for me, like, I don't know. It's very tough to rank them. Very tough.
Well, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do it. Elden Ring, then Bloodborne.
And that might be where I'm at.
Dark Souls 3, 2, 1, Demon Souls.
Okay.
Man, Demon Souls at the bottom. And Dark Souls 2 is like.
Not the remake. The original Demon Souls is at the bottom.
Dang. Where's the remake?
I mean,
who knows? Just okay. about. It's Demon Souls, Demon Souls. I'll let you decide.
Yeah. Oh, everything was chronological except Bloodborne.
Yeah, because I've played like
reverse chronological
6 hours of Dark Souls 2.
Never I'm not talking about like these are the games you would recommend. I'm just saying like for you, this is your order of Souls games.
I think the problem is that ideologically you are thinking about the impact a game made on you and then the relevance of how it feels to play today. And it's hard to reconcile those two
and
things.
And also thinking about like
opposite ends.
Technically good.
Right.
Like. Not just the impression it made on
me. For me, it's like, it's the same. And this is just like a personal approach, but I can respect the classics without enjoying the classics.
Yeah.
I don't like Metallica, but thanks for getting us to a point where we have good metal. Mm-hmm. And now we're canceled twice because now we don't like Star Wars or Metallica. Yeah. But for me, it's like, I think it's important to acknowledge like Dark Souls 1, what it did, where it brought us.
I love playing it, but not because I think.
But is that mostly nostalgia for
you? Yes, it is. Yeah. It is like, I want to go back to Firelink Shrine and hear that Firelink Shrine music that I got the question wrong on the quiz on a few episodes back. Yeah. But I love that music.
That song that I love so well.
Yeah.
I definitely recognize it when I hear it.
Yeah. It's actually the pause menu music that. When you turn the game on, and I was like, "What is that from?" And
it's the character creation music.
Yeah. Which, yeah. Whatever. It's the same as the menu.
I know. It's fine. Okay.
Anyways, I'm gonna say Elden Ring at the top.
Okay.
It's the one I have the most complaints about, but at the same time has
the highs are higher. The lows are lower. Yeah.
The combat system, I think, it's just top notch.
Okay.
I agree.
The different ways you can approach combat.
I appreciate more than anything, I appreciate that it lets me do what I'm interested in doing.
Yeah.
And that I don't have to bang my head against the same boss until I can beat them.
Correct.
To get to the next interesting thing.
Yeah.
Get good.
No.
And then And then I'm going Bloodborne.
Okay.
And then I'm going Dark Souls 3.
Wow.
Okay. I love Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
I do have a few complaints about it, but the combat is better than Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2.
Okay.
And it's got a ton of great-looking bosses and great boss fights. And it's got some pretty interesting places to explore, but the level design is better in Dark Souls 1, for sure. And maybe even the boss design. It's tough.
Okay.
Dark Souls 2 is fun. But it feels like a spinoff. It feels like a Lords of the Fallen. It feels like a. It doesn't feel like a Miyazaki game. You can definitely tell. Like even if you didn't know that about it, you'd be like, "Wow, something's off here." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then, see, I haven't even put Sekiro anywhere.
I think you just wanted Miyazaki games. I'm assuming.
That's Sekiro.
This is my Miyazaki game.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that he made Sekiro.
Let's put that at the bottom.
That's kind of wild. Going. Yeah, put it at the bottom, Dalen.
That's what I'm going to do.
Did she not enjoy Sekiro?
No. Go ahead.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Where am I? What have I left off?
You think you know somebody.
I think I was. Oh, well. Okay.
Dang it.
Now you're putting, I have to put Demon Souls somewhere. I haven't played the remake, which I know is incredible because I've watched enough of it. But I really enjoy Demon Souls on the PS3.
Why don't you just pay $600 and get it?
Exactly.
Whatever. Just come over and play it. I'll watch you play it.
They put God of War.
Play it on stream.
That's right.
They put God of War on Steam, so eventually they'll put Demon Souls.
Yeah. Now that's my favorite Souls-like. It definitely has anything in common with a Souls game.
It's got a little bit in common with
the
Souls game.
It's interesting to me how much Elden Ring's combat has shifted towards like the action RPG style of like God of War style games, and God of War has like come to a new midpoint with them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? They've borrowed from Souls, and Souls has like moved further in that direction to make the combat like more cinematic and interesting and like more pace to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But obviously I wouldn't call God of War a Souls game, but it is interesting how much DNA you can see if you're looking for it in there.
Yeah. I feel like the Souls like term is just open to interpretation at this point.
Yeah. So, that's why I wanted to try and establish some kind of baseline. Cause it's like such an open-ended.
All right, finish your ranking.
What have I left off?
Demon Souls. Yeah. Where is Dark there, Souls look, 1 and 2?
Look, I have acknowledged Souls all the games. What do you want?
I said all their names.
We got Elden Ring.
We
got Bloodborne.
Okay.
We got Dark Souls 3.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got probably Dark Souls 1.
Okay.
Then we've got Sekiro.
Then Dark Souls.
No. Demon Souls above Sekiro.
Okay.
Oh.
Then Sekiro.
Mm-hmm.
And although if I finished it, maybe my opinion would change, and then we're at Dark Souls 2.
Okay.
And then did I get them all?
I think so.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, Talon.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Fires of Rubicon.
Of course.
Oh, man.
Well, I haven't played that Souls-like, personally.
Okay.
I'm going
Enchanted Arms.
Perfect.
Enchanted Arms. We've got to get one really obscure reference in.
Dark Tower or whatever that their other game was.
No, that's
a Miyazaki game wasn't related, I don't think, in that one. Anyways, okay. So we're going to go Demon Souls.
Uh-huh.
Dark Souls.
Uh-huh.
Bloodborne.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go probably Elden Ring after that. Then we're going to go Dark Souls 2. And then we're going to go Dark Souls 3. And then Sekiro.
Okay.
And then the original Demon Souls is at the bottom?
No, I'm over Demon Souls.
What was wrong with Sekiro? Okay. Or what was not right enough?
Because,
man,
I think
once I got good at the combat of that game, I was like having a blast.
I got good at the combat of the game, I was like, this game is too difficult.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, I think it would be one of my favorite action adventure games if they would tweak it down just a hair.
I think it's
almost
well. I think that was insane. Kind of the point of the game was to be like he wanted to make one that was
he wanted to make the next Ninja Gaiden.
Very
that's what
much,
it felt like to me.
Yeah.
But with a
where it's
camera.
Like I love the traversal and like the sneak attacks and all that stuff. Very cool. But it's like you do a sneak attack and you got like you freaking take a katana and go through his shoulder. And he still has 75% of his health? Why?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude,
welcome
you just
to RPGs.
Turn it down dude, just a hair, dude.
Not just that, but like when you beat the monkey boss in that game, which is already a full-on, it's a no-holds-barred boss fight.
Yeah.
It's not like they're pulling punches and you're like, wow, that was weirdly easy.
Yeah.
You're like, holy cow, that took me like 10 tries.
Yeah.
Then a giant centipede crawls out of its
body. And you're
body,
probably using the bathroom at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a whole new boss fight. Yeah, because he falls down and dies.
It says boss defeated. Yes.
Right,
But then the body doesn't disappear.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wait, why is the body not disappearing? Uh-huh. And then the centipede comes out of its neck.
No,
and
I've got
it. And like reattaches its head or something
which,
like that. And then
to
like,
be
bah!
Fair,
yeah.
Incredible moment. But not when you have 10% of your health left and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I gotta do this like, all over again.
I'm in the kitchen and I've got the ham on my sandwich.
You're like, finally, a food I can eat with my hands.
I've crumpled up my white bread into a ball and I hear combat noises.
They're getting us from every side.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you crumble up your bread.
I'm crumbling up my white
what's
bread.
What's happening when you're crumbling up your fake loaf of bread, Ryan? Continue.
And I hear combat noises in the living room. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And that monkey boss came back to life.
You come in. Also, you're dead. The monkey is standing there.
I've never fought this boss in my life.
Yeah. And I'm like, how did I get here? Who are you?
Yeah. Oh, this is a YouTube video.
I think the other side of that coin, though, is that Sekiro also wants you to be particularly stealthy, right? Like,
it does.
Part of the difficulty is even just getting around in the world is difficult.
Yeah. I like an Elden Ring. If you play the tutorial, they're like, you can do stealth kills, and you forget that.
Instantly. Yeah. Within the first 2 hours.
You're like, when you said that for a split second, my brain was like, no, you can't do that.
You can hide in the grass. There's even a boss fight towards the very beginning of the game. Down on the beach, you go in the cave, and there's like two of those demi-human things with the daggers that go crazy.
They're tough by yourself.
Well, you can walk into that boss fight, sneak through the grass, and then get a good
karate chop.
Sneak attack on one of the guys. But most people just run in there.
But
there's a whole stealth system in that game that's underutilized. I think they took that from Sekiro.
So wild.
Like, we have to take something from Sekiro.
Something.
I think Sekiro in its own way was trying to be a Souls game that was fundamentally different.
I think it had some of the most satisfying kills, though. Like, when you would parry and you'd get those counterattacks, it was...
Yeah. I mean, that's...
That was nice.
That's like the... That is the fundamental part of the Souls game for me. Like, that formula is the harder you struggle, the more satisfying the success is.
Yeah. It was the one where, like, getting better at the game felt like leveling up. Like, because you didn't level up much in that game at all.
Yeah, you did a little bit,
like,
of it, but
it was like, you would learn new moves. Mm-hmm. I remember you get, like, new combo attacks and things. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, today. So no one cares about my opinion. We'll just move on.
Are you going to rank this whole game?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. Perfect. I mean, I could, I guess, but I will just tell you Elden Ring is the one I think is... I hit that button.
Oh, that's fine.
You're good.
You're good.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
I will say Elden Ring is the culmination for me. Like, when I ranked them earlier, them that way because it's like... It is. I'm just ignoring you.
He has a good point.
No.
It is the most...
Casual, friendly Souls game.
Yeah, and for someone stepping into the Souls series. Yeah, and not in a bad way at all.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
It feels like you mean it in a bad way.
Okay, sorry.
When you say it out loud,
it still
hurts.
It's like saying Monster Hunter World is the most casual Monster Hunter game.
Accessible, I think.
Yeah.
For sure.
Accessibility.
Casual, it has the highest. I don't know. Yeah. Because there is no such thing as a casual Monster Hunter game.
Right.
And there's probably also not really such a thing as a casual Souls game because you have to commit.
Elden Ring is not casual by any means, especially by the time you beat it. I think it's the best at getting its hooks in you, though, compared to the other ones.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you're into it, and then you realize, hey, maybe Souls game's not that hard.
Yeah. As a microcosm of what I like about that game versus the other Souls games, because I won't rank them because I haven't played... Like, I played a very, very little amount of 2 and 3, never played Demon's Souls, never played 1. So I don't think it's fair for me to try and rank them.
You just got yourself so much homie work.
Yeah.
Play 1, 2, 3.
So did you, because I'm going to be like, Ryan, I need you. Let me summon you.
That's right.
The first boss, like the first real boss in Elden Ring, you fight him. He's hard. You lose. You go away. You leave.
Okay.
You find the cave where the shackle is. You're like, what does this do? You get the shackle. It makes the boss fight easier. It also tells you a little bit about who this dude is.
The whole time I thought you were talking about the first boss, which is the grafted dude with the swords and the shield.
No. Not the tutorial boss.
Yes.
Margot? Which one is it?
The first one is Margot, right? I don't know how you pronounce it, but M-A-R-G-O-T.
I don't know if he's French or not.
Margot.
Yeah. Esmargo is, if he's too hard, you can go find an item that will help you beat him. But that item also tells you a little bit about like who he is and where he comes from. And that kind of like holistic idea of we're wrapping narrative. We've already talked about this, but wrapping narrative into function and like opening this world up, you could just beat him and go, and it never matters, and you get that shackle, and you might not even ever know what that shackle does,
or even know that it exists.
But it's called, you may never even find it. You may never find that that you cave. You may
talk to Patches,
and you may never talk to Patches, and you don't know that Patches is like a dude that people care about,
and that he's immortal, and he's in every Souls game besides two.
His
name has just changed, and he's
why is he such a coward despite the fact that he's immortal?
His name's Pate in Dark Souls
2. Oh, yeah, it is Pate. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But that cycle is what I like so much about Elden Ring. Yeah. Like, I have options. I am discovering things. I'm uncovering things. I'm doing lots of cool stuff. And all the while, it is meeting me where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to. I don't have the time or patience or desire to fight a boss 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
If I fight them 5 times in a row and I don't feel like I'm making any progress, I'm not having fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already talked about that too. So I'll just say that's what makes Elden Ring stand out as a unique entry in the Souls series for me, is that I feel it gives you autonomy in a way that is meaningful that I appreciate.
Yeah.
And I won't rank them any further.
Okay. Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
When I fought a boss that I was taking me 5 tries to beat, did they just go?
No. Nope. That was my finger.
Oh.
Crack.
When it takes me 5 tries to beat a boss, I go, okay, let me think about my strategy.
Yeah.
And what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, my normal strategy isn't working, which is take a 2-handed sword and smash them in the head when it looks like they're not looking.
So, well, when it looks like he's not looking, he is looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I just think, so I'm going to just go real quick through Demon Souls. I like the aesthetic. I like the medieval setting.
Yeah.
I
love the medieval setting.
Yeah, it's unique even in the Souls games, I would say.
Dark Souls 1, it feels like every single area that you find is vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Demon's Souls basically just has, like, just the medieval stuff outside of Valley of Defiance.
Yeah, Dark Souls, you've got, like, New Londo, Anor Londo, you got Blighttown, the Beta Chaos area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The name of the area.
I can't remember. The lava level or whatever. Yeah. And then they have the tree.
Mm-hmm.
When you get and you go under the tree or whatever
it's called. Yeah. There's a whole... go ahead.
No. Yeah. But Bloodborne, I love the combat and I love the bosses. I think they're incredible. But the combat is just like friggin' perfection.
Yeah.
I think it's just incredible. And then I like Elden Ring, but I couldn't tell you really much about it. Like, after we played the game, it's like whenever I pick it back up, I'm like, yeah, this is fun. But I never think about it. I've talked to you about this before.
Okay.
I never
so think about you're maidenless. After. You want to find a maiden.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Let me just give you
a quick think about the game after. And that's one thing about Souls games is I feel like you're like, oh, dude, did you find this? Did you find this? Like the sense of community that you were talking about, Jared, is everybody's like kind of pitching in on this game and be like, oh my gosh, did you find this secret and stuff like that. With Elden Ring, it looks pretty. It's fun to play. It's the most accessible. But I don't think about it after I'm done playing it.
Yeah.
I don't like strive to. Towards the end of the game, I was just like, man, I can't wait till this game is done.
Is that because you have a family?
No.
Is that because you have responsibilities now?
All of those things. Yeah. No, but it's just like, well, you know, it's hard to.
It's because it hurts his hand to hold the control.
Oh, that's what it is.
Just digest all this time
into
this.
Bones.
Yeah, but
the nurse keeps telling me it's time for my walk.
I'm like, oh,
come on.
Got it. Yeah. So, but I have a lot of fun with Dark Souls 2, especially when you and I played it.
Uh-huh.
I think, obviously, it's like a mishmash of everything. Huh. The combat's kind of, it's almost so ridiculous. It's fun just because it's, like, insane.
Yeah.
It's got... outside of Elden Ring, I think it's got the most bosses in the Souls games.
Oh, it has a ton of bosses.
Yeah, which is insane.
For the size of the game.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just boss, boss,
yeah, you
boss,
just go
boss,
anywhere boss. You want, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like
whatever.
A boss rush.
They were like, we don't do level design so well.
Yeah.
So let's not boss. Do so many levels.
Yeah.
Can't say we're bad at it if we don't do it.
But Dark Souls 3 was when I was feeling massive soul fatigue.
I guess
is
so.
Is when you were talking about, Jared, all of those... derivative Souls-like games were coming out around this time, and then Dark Souls 3 came out, and I was like, dude, I'm freaking burned out. And I just wanted more Bloodborne, and they tried to emphasize a little bit like faster movement, but I just really couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
And then Sekiro for me is just because of the... I think it's just... they cranked it up too hard. It's just too hard. Yeah. And it's like, I got to the final boss and I never beat him, but it's just like, I like...
You did better than me.
I like the... I like the Japan, the feudal Japan setting. I think it's cool.
Yeah. That's why I like Neo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it has a lot of like mythology and stuff. Like the enemies are mythologically based. It's like folklore and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wanted more from it, but it, they just, I feel like they just,
I think it, you do know. And I think it was too hard.
It was too hard. But I'm just saying, I think it's like when you look at Dark Souls, it's like, well, you can defeat this boss. Well, I guess you're leveling up, so you get stronger. But it's like Sekiro; it's all about
I think more that's
skill.
Think
but it's that, just like I think
it's also about like how, if the combat feels less satisfying to you.
Well, like, it's like
because it is a different approach.
It's like, well, I can only do 3 attacks, and it's like this enemy can do 100 attacks while you have to guard, and now you can only do 3. I don't know. It's just like you need to be on the same almost level playing field. I don't know, to a certain degree if you're gonna make a game like that. I don't know. It just feels kind of insane.
I feel you.
So.
I feel you.
But that's really everything for me.
Okay.
Well.
It's good stuff.
Just bring tissue next time.
Yep. For all my tears. But I'm excited to see what they do next.
Oh, so, yeah. And honestly, I think I'd be more excited for a Dark Souls 4.
Yeah.
Than I would an Elden Ring 2.
Like a more smaller mainline game.
Yeah. Just. Yeah. Go like I just like the Dark Souls universe.
I think it would help the longevity of both of those like franchises, quote unquote, if they would alternate. If they would not do direct sequels.
Yeah. I'd be most excited for Bloodborne 2.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
Well, I think that would be even better if they could alternate between those and give each type of game 3 years. Would be way the difference between two
and then 3 stop years when I huge. Die.
Yeah, and then just stop when you die.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so when you go 20, when you're 20 years in the future, and you're ignoring the 18 games that have come out, and you're just like, Ryan told me I could only play 2. So here I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what you want next is either a Bloodborne 2.
Or Dark Souls 4.
Or a Dark Souls 4.
Elden Ring 2, sure.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I would definitely pre-order it.
And yeah, blah, indeed. Blah. Yeah.
I would like to see like a Warframe style, like far future, but
just let Warframe
melee like focused.
So Warframe handle that.
I think I want Souls style combat.
Aren't they doing that with Warframe?
We'll see.
Okay. Have you played the Diveri expansion?
I have not.
Okay. Well, play the Diveri
expansion. Okay. My bad, bro. I take back everything I said.
It's even get a horse that has double jump.
Flying horse, bro. Yeah, yeah, nice. That sounds great.
Yeah, the controls are vastly different from Elden Ring, which is what throws me off.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's fair. Well, next time we'll do a part 2 episode where we talk about your least favorite things and what features you would like to see in a future one
of
a Souls game,
of a Souls game,
of a Miyazaki
things
Souls
we
game.
Want like okay.
Or like elements of existing Souls branch offs.
Yeah, that let's you want do it right now. Hello and welcome.
Let's not do it.
To episode 2.
For listeners, I just looked at the time. Let's not do it right now.
All
right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us.
That's right.
Let us know where you rank the Souls games and give us your highlights. You can tell us your favorite bosses or just favorite moments.
Yeah, I love hearing people's favorite
memories. Give us some stories to read.
Exactly.
And story maybe too. We'll bring some up on a future episode.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, that's most what maybe likely means.
Will. Yeah.
Those are the two options.
It's the one option, by the way.
Oh.
And thanks for listening or watching. And if you watched,
thank you
hopefully
so much.
You're also listening. I got to start all over.
Oh, no.
So thanks for joining us.
Shout out to Sam Webster. Sister.
Shout out to Shams Webster.
Shams Webster.
Go quick, Ryan.
Sam Webster. Thanks.
Oh, my gosh.
He makes good slapping music.
Yes, yeah, he does. And two of them are intro and outro songs.
Yeah, which is clock in and clock out, and I'm going to drive Taylor crazy with this outro.
Not me, though. I like it.
This camera's on me anyways. This one's on you guys.
That's fine. Yeah, when this dies, it's just no more us.
No more you guys.
We'll cease to exist.
Yeah.
This is
And what did I forget?
Oh, nothing. Don't forget to save.
Don't forget to save.
Okay, thank you.